I'd like to welcome Jean-Jacques Perry to the Cold Cut Studio.
Thank you. And I'm very happy to be here.
Originator of tape splicing, early sampling, and synthesizer melodies and funk. And your new record, EVA.
And just lot been, of fans.
Yes, we've been reissued, which we've been playing down stealth and playing on the show already, and we're going to play again. Thanks for coming.
Thank you to invite me.
We've had a bit of a chat already, but we've got a few more questions which we'd like
all
to
right.
put to you.
Okay.
I first came across your work in the research book, Strange and Exotic Music, where there was a chapter about you and your work. Mm-hmm. And I read a few things in there which raised a few questions. Could you describe the Ondio line to me?
Yes, the Ondio line or the Ondioline was the first French electronic instrument created to be used for recreative music. And this instrument was quite magic because you could at the same time play many instruments or many imitation of instruments, but not, of course, it was not a real sound, but approaching sound. And you could have a sensibility on the keyboard up and down to get the volume, and left to right to make the vibrato yourself. That's why my dream, because I always dreamed to play violin on a keyboard. So I demonstrated for a while for the inventor this instrument in the big fairs in Europe. And that's why I traveled a lot and I learned a lot. And then I met many people who said to me, this instrument is magic, but you have to make it known by the American people. So I went to United States and I started with the Ondioline. The Ondioline was a little box, just about the size of the of this instrument called the Prosoloist, but it was in wood. And each Ondioline was, it was funny because each Ondioline has his own sound. You know, it is not always the same sound. Although it was built the same way with the same material, but they had their own character. It was the first, how can I explain to you? It was a selector, I don't know the name in English, unfortunately. Selector of harmonics, a selector of harmonic with tubes. So it's very difficult to explain, but anyway, this instrument, I still have one, but it needs to be repaired. I met Robert Moog when I was working with Gershon Kingsley. I made first the first album called In Sound From Way Out. And after we have put this album at in Vanguard Society, a recording society, we said that we knew that Walter Carlos, better known as Wendy Carlos now, has put out a record called Switch on Back, which was a really very good record and new sounds. So we said we must get one of this record, not one of these instruments. So we called Robert Moog, and he sold us the second instrument. So right. We were the second people to have second Moog. It was it costed, I think it was about $4,000, something like that. It was monophonic, but it was such a fun to program each sound. And sometimes we had to tune it because it get got out of tune. So, well, it doesn't matter.
Have you worked much with modern digital synthesizers?
Yes, recently. But of course, I still love to work with analog. But of course, I use also the digital systems.
Yeah, digital system.
I just got Kurzweil 2000.
Yes.
And I know that another one has been coming, the Kurzweil 2500, with a ribbon.
Ribbon controller.
Ribbon control. Yes. And this will be my next step.
You think you hear the difference between analog and
digital? Oh yes, of course, right. Yes, of course. There is a difference, but you know the problem with the with this instrument, the present instrument, we have to control them and not being controlled by them.
Right.
We must not be the slave of the machine, but the machine must be the slave.
I hear that. Yeah. you mean in terms of the ease of using the machine?
The ease of using the machine, and also the way it is played.
Right.
The machine cannot play by itself. The man controls the machine, of course. He plays the machine. And that's why I don't like the happening sounds of arpeggiators or something, things like that, because we never get what we want to get. So I like to control the sound. That's
right.
what Walt Disney told me. Never leave the machine to do what the machine wants to do. Control it and do it again and again until you do it as
right.
you hear.
I'd like to ask about EVA.
Which
was recorded in America.
That's, you know, it's a kind of fairy tale for me because when I first recorded this, I had a very important creative crew in the United States, and we said together, we got together, and I said to them, I am doing the last album in America because I have to go back to France at the end of 1970. So we have to find, finally, a sound of what will be the hit of the year 2000. And we tried to foresee and to forehear what will be the sound of tomorrow. So we, after a while, we created this tune and used, of course, all the analog technology we had available. And we said maybe we'll be successful in the year 2000. And we lost our bet because we are 4 years.
4 years.
Yes.
It's pretty good prediction. Right on.
What do you think about the use of that track in a sample in other people's work, for instance, Guru and Gangsta?
And Ice-T.
Ice-T.
And many other people's,
and many,
I know.
Many
I know. But I don't feel sour because many composers are very sour when somebody takes out from them a part and they think they take a part of themselves. But I think it's an honor for a composer of my age to have the happiness to see that young generations of musicians are still dancing on this track. And I encourage all musicians to sample my records as long as they want and as much as they want, because I feel like an honor.
We've always said, because when we started off making records from sampling and using turntables, some people said, oh, you're just stealing bits of other people's music. But we always felt, if you steal too much, too big pieces, it's not right. But if you take small pieces and put them together and put your own influence into it, then you're doing something. Also, if you take big pieces, you should credit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should
Well, any, of course, anyway.
So then people can find the original source, like they have with you, and bring out that original energy.
But I think that we don't own our creation. You know something? We cannot own an animal. We cannot own a tree. That's nature. And sound is something from nature. And creation, we for instance, we have a child. We have to let him do and to let him grow. We have to help him to grow. And then when he becomes mature, he does what he wants. He's free. Mm. And I think a creation, it is the same thing. So it does not belong to us. It belongs to the collectivity. That's my opinion.
Well, we've talked quite a lot about EVA, and I think it's time to play the track, really. Here you go.
What were your early influences in electronic music?
You know, I remember many, many things. You know, when I was young, I did not hear many tracks, because at this time the electronic music was not developed very much. But however, in the end of the 50s, I heard a record made by a fellow whose name is Tom De Selvert in Holland, in Netherlands. And this afternoon we talked about it, and I just reminded that had been a big influence on me, because it was a new sound and something coherent, something warm. And I wanted to try. One day I said, I must find a way to make that kind of music. And my dream came through when I went in United States. And also influenced of many tracks from Oscar Sala, playing the trotonium, which was an instrument, an electronic instrument, very very complicated to work. Also the theremin, and but there were not really influence. It was I was not influenceable. I wanted to do something original and that nobody did before. And I tried to develop this concept of putting the tapes, the piece of tape together, in order to get crazy loops and crazy crazy sequences.
Well. It's incredible, really, that not only you've been an early pioneer of electronic music synthesis, but also of sampling.
Well, sampling, yes. Now I understand what sampling means. I was doing sampling without knowing it was sampling. I was doing sampling without sampler.
That's true, cold cut as well. I mean, when we started off, it was just turntables.
Yes.
A sampler was something that cost £100,000, and you only had if you were a rich, boring musician.
Too expensive.
And we had our turntables and tape.
Why not? And a razor blade.
Yeah.
And also splicing tape and leading tape to put in between in order to have the rhythm that I wrote on a piece of paper.
You just showed us a vintage reel, in
fact, yes,
which shows how you edited together these incredibly funky, complex rhythmic loops.
Yeah.
And you actually written down kind of on each,
yes,
in each centimeter of the tape almost.
Yes.
You marked out
of
and
course.
Numbered, because it was the only way to work it out, I suppose.
You know, it was something funny, because when I started, I did not know what I was going to do. And when I finished to make the loop, I said, well, how it's going to work? So I put it on and I listened to it. Sometimes I was surprised. And I said, oh, I have to change one sound. So I made one of the sounds I have to replace by another one. So that's the way I developed this technique of what we call now sampling.
Right.
And it was fun. It was really, at this time, a lot of fun to do that.
Yeah, it's great when you've got a technique like that that just hasn't been used at all. I always think, you know, when the world of music was young and everything sounded good, you know, there was no cliche then.
Yes,
you know,
but you know, at this time it was much time consuming.
Sure.
And I think that we can compare to an alchemist. An alchemist is supposed to make gold, but he never makes gold. It is the time he spent to try to make gold that make him rich, but mentally and spiritually rich.
And you learn other things, and you achieve something else than what what you started out to do a lot of the time as well.
Well, you learn a lot with the tape and the razor blade. Yeah.
So if anyone out there listening, if they see old reel-to-reel machines in car boot sales,
and they buy them. Don't.
Get them.
No.
Why? No, because you want to buy them.
Yes.
He wants to buy.
Yeah, you're on Nagra. Do a lot more with that than with a lot of samplers. Right?
Yes.
You recorded quite a bit of material for the Montparnasse 2000 label, more abstract electronic stuff. Let's take a listen to one of those tracks now. I see a couple of things here which have caught my eye, John Jack, in this article here. The future is not what it was.
Yes, of course, it's not a joke, but it is true. I think the future that we contemplate now to be is not the same as we had the feeling 10 years, for instance, before of what it was. Because mankind is evaluating all the time, sometimes not in a good way, but sometimes good ways. And future changes because it is a concept of the mind. Future doesn't exist because I think personally that the time is something which does not exist. We are walking through the time, through the dimension. It is a dimension of the life through that we cannot control. We are going through the time, and we cannot go back, and we cannot go further. So time is only a dimension. You know that we are made of three dimensions. We can control the first one, the second one, and the third one, but not the fourth one. Maybe someday there will be machines that would be able to transport us into the past. Or somebody thought about that before me, J. Wells, the time machine.
Well, whatever, when we get in our time machine, we have to put on a soundtrack of funky mad loops, I think. It will go down quite well.
Back to the 70s for me, first stop, I
think. Well, get some records.
Get some flares, mate.
I wrote to you a couple of years ago, this one thing that you wrote here in the end of this article. Mm-hmm. You had one of those luminous ideas capable of revolutionising the musical world in a contemporary style by using modern technology. And that was quite fascinating and provocative. I wonder, could you tell us a bit what you mean?
Yeah, first of all, I want you to know that I never received your letter. And secondly, I want to... You know, when a creator creates, he's alive. If he stops to create, he's dying. Right. So I want to be able to live again until the day I have to go back to my ancestors. I want to be creative as much as possible. And that's why I am looking to work with young people who has the same kind of mentality I had when I was young myself. I bring the experience and I bring some ideas, and they bring a new blood. I'm not a vampire, don't worry.
No, we know
but
what
the new okay. When I say the new blood, it is because they are they have the ear prepared to the new sounds, and something that maybe I don't have enough developed, but I bring something and they bring something, and together we build something else. That was the concept of the luminous idea that will revolutionize the world.
Well, I look forward to perhaps we can be involved with it as well.
Oh, I will be delighted.
I have to agree with you that one thing which is so important is humor, and we might all be just kind of serious scientists without that, and would become grey and boring. But we've got to keep injecting that into what we're doing, and I hear that just in the sounds of your music. When those tracks start off and you hear these outrageous concoctions of like squeaking aliens or something like yes. that. It brings a smile to your face, and yes. a sound that can do that, an arrangement of sound that can do that is a good sound for me.
I think
you need moods.
I think when you see something smiling, when they hear this music, it's a step ahead in the progress. We are part of a conscious, collective unconscious, and we have to make the world. We have to ameliorate. We have to improve all the time, and not forget that humor is missing presently to the world, because too much stress, too much pressure. The people is too sad. So we have to awake them by humor. Humor will make them smiling, and instead of wanting to fight, they will think and they will become more wise for the future. That's what I hope.
Jean-Jacques Perry, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
You are very welcome. I hope to come back to London soon to do something with you.
We look forward to it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here's another track from the tape that Des sent me of the Montparnasse material.